Pine Baptist Church, and thankful that he was able to come out and be with us this morning. We tried to get this planned and in line a while back, and then everything fell through, and then it kind of come back, but the devil just don't want it, so he's trying to throw a wrench in the works, but we're not going to let him rob the Lord of his glory. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you, God, for such a beautiful day and for allowing us to be here, Father, at sunrise, Lord, just to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to be able to do this in this difficult time. And Lord, we just ask you to be with us as we have the service this morning. Be with Brother Jim as he comes to deliver the message that you've laid on his heart. And help us, Lord, to honor you in everything and all that we do, God. This is not a gimmick. It's not a stage or a put on, Father, but it's here to worship you, Lord, because you are a risen Savior. You rose, Father, that we might be justified, that we might know, that we might have assurance beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord, that the finished work of Calvary, Lord, had been completed, and you had the power to take care of that, Lord, and because you was able to take care of that, you was able to rise again, Lord, to give us a hope, Father, that goes beyond anything that this world has to offer us. Now, Lord, just bless our time here together. Help us, Father, to honor you and give glory unto you in all that we do. And we praise you in the name of Jesus. We say amen. Amen. It's a privilege this morning to have Brother Jim Reeves from State Line Baptist Church. And his church has been a blessing to us quite a few different ways. They were here for our youth revival, singing and supporting us. Were here last year and sung for us. And a young man, Jeffrey Farrow, goes to their church, young preacher, preached for us on our youth revival, and he's the one that got the FM transmitter that made it possible for us to do this morning. So a lot of ways they've been very helpful. They've opened their parsonage that they don't use. Brother Jim has his own home, so the parsonage is there. They've opened it up to us to allow missionaries and preachers that are in the area coming to be with us to use it, and that's been a blessing as well to our church. So we are just so thankful. But this has been an off-again, on-again thing, and didn't know whether we was going to have it, then found out we could have it, and Brother Jim was just, whatever, just let me know, and we did. So he's here this morning. Give him your undivided attention. Honor the Lord this morning, and we know that the Lord's going to bless what's going to happen here. He'll bless you here that have come because you made the effort to come out this morning. So, Brother Jim, you come and just preach what God's laid on your heart, and just when you're ready to close out, just let me know and we'll close out.
Sounds good. Amen. You grab your Bibles. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you can hear me, blink your lights, wave the sign. I seen an amen sign. Amen. I like that. Brother, you got some people prepared, ready to work. This is different. I can kind of see a few faces. I heard Sister Nancy Tyler over here. I think she was singing nice and loud. There she is. Amen. I usually start off by saying it's good to be in God's house. Well, we're not in his house. We're outside his house. But the church is not the building. The church is the people of Jesus Christ, born-again believers. But I count it an honor to be here with Charlestown. Brother Dennis Gilbert's a good friend. He's always been a help to me whenever I need him. I call him out. I'm thankful for Charlestown to be a part of it. I was thinking this morning. I got up at 4:30, started praying for this message this morning. And I was thinking to myself, I said, you know, if I can get up at 4:30 and chase after a turkey, I can certainly get up at 4:30 and go preach the gospel. I said, you know, if I can get up at 4:30 in the morning and go out and chase rockfish out on the flats, I can get up early in the morning and preach the gospel. And I'm thinking to myself, say, well, are you going to do this yet next year? Probably not. I like sleeping in and drinking coffee. But amen. It's good to be here with you guys this morning. I won't be long. I know we got a whole day plans, but I want to preach to you this morning on a topic, if Christ be not raised. If Christ be not raised. I want to answer the question, what if there was no resurrection? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I mean, let's look down at your Bibles, and this is kind of weird. I can't really see your faces, so if you throw an amen sign out, that'll help me out along the way. But we're going to read 1 Corinthians 15, and you don't have to stand, so you can stay right where you're at. And we're going to look at verses 12 down through 19. Verse 12 says this, "Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. And then verse 15 says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Verse 16 says, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are, get this, yet in your sins. Then they also which fall asleep in Christ are perished. If, get this, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day you've given us. Lord, I am early in the morning. Lord, think about what over 2,000 years ago, the greatest event to ever take place. Lord, you walked up out of the grave. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we serve a risen Savior. Lord, that we don't have a dead Savior in the grave, but a Savior that faced death and won. And Lord, we're here early this morning to celebrate that. Lord, what an honor it is to be called your child. Lord, what an honor it is to serve you. And Lord, as we take this day, we set this day aside, Lord, to worship you and to celebrate the resurrection. Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray and ask, Lord, I know I can't see people real good. I don't know, what's in each car. But Lord, if there's somebody here listening, and Lord, that's not saved, don't understand the power of the resurrection, Lord, I pray and ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would convict their heart. And Lord, before we leave this parking lot, Lord, they'd bow their head with a believing heart and call on your name. And Father, I pray for your children here this morning that are listening. Feed us this morning. Help us to grow stronger in our faith. Lord, this is kind of different, but Lord, it don't matter. You're still in control. And Father, I pray and ask your Holy Spirit would feed us, teach us something this morning, that our faith would grow, and Lord, we'd be more powerful witnesses on the other side of this. Father, I pray for Charlestown Baptist. Lord, I thank you for this lighthouse here in this little town. And Lord, I pray and ask you that you'd be with the pastor, be with the church. Help them to preach the gospel. Help them to continue to reach out in their community. And Father, we'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Mark chapter 9, we got the story of the transfiguration. Jesus took Peter, he took James and John up on the mountain to show them a miracle. And when they got to the top of miracle, top of the mountain, a few things happened. The first thing that happened, there was the transfiguration. In verse 3 in Mark 9 says, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on the earth can white them. Well, in other words, the glorious appearance of Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration was more brilliant than anything anybody's ever seen. That was the second thing. And then the second thing, they seen Moses and Elijah, or the Bible calls him Elias. They appeared before him. But then the third thing happened. There was a dark cloud that overshadowed Moses and Elijah, or Moses and Elijah were gone. And while that cloud was still there, they heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." So, many scholars has asked, well, what is the purpose of this? Why did God allow this? And I think if you jump to the next verse, or verses 9 and 10, you get the answer. Let me read you verses 9 and 10 of Mark 9, or Mark 10. It says, verse 9, it says, and as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. All right, so I want you to keep quiet, Jesus said, until after the resurrection. And then verse 10, listen to what it says. And they kept saying within themselves, questioning one another, what the rising of the dead should mean. What is this resurrection thing all about? And I think that's a good question. I think that's a question every born-again believer ought to be able to answer. What is the resurrection all about? The resurrection is an important part of our belief system. Let me read you in Matthew chapter 16. In verse 21, the Bible says this, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. He said this is a must. This is a part of our belief. We have to believe in the resurrection. It was a must that Jesus die and raise again. Jesus said something similar in Luke chapter 24, verse 46. It says, and said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead. The resurrection of Christ is an absolute must. It has to be part of our belief system. Paul says this in Acts chapter 17, verse 3. He says, opening, alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. It was a must that Christ rose from the dead. And I want to talk to you this morning. I won't be long, but I want to give you six things what would happen or what wouldn't happen if it wasn't for the resurrection. If we didn't have the resurrection, six things, if you're taking notes or just mentally taking notes, I want to give you why there had to been a resurrection. All right? Let's just jump right in. Number one, without the resurrection, we have no high priest. Without the resurrection, we have no high priest. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 says this, "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty of heavens." The job of the high priest was simply this, to go on behalf of the people into the holy place, into the tabernacle or the temple, and representing the people, to sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. That was the high priest's job. He was the only one to go in there. Jesus Christ is our high priest. He is the one that's went on into heavens, the holy place, on our behalf. Let me read you a verse. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, "Seeing then that we have such a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Christ is standing on the right hand of God right now. He has ascended up into heaven. Because of the resurrection, now we have a high priest, an access to the throne of God. That way we can go boldly under the throne of God because of our high priest. I did a little bit of research in the Bible, and I found a couple of things that he's doing right now for us because of the resurrection. Number one, he's making intercession for us. He's making intercession for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 34 says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, and who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us." Intercession is to go on behalf for another person. That's what Christ is doing for you and me right now as believers. Jesus is going on behalf of us, for us. You know, let me give you an illustration. About 3 years ago, my granddaughter was born, my first and only grandchild. And in the birthing room there at Union Hospital, they were only allowed three. Mommy, of course, she has to be there. The daddy was there, and my wife, grandma, was there. But I wasn't allowed in there, so I had to wait out in the waiting room. And boy, I'll tell you, it was about 2 hours before my granddaughter came along. And I will tell you, that was the longest 2 hours. I wasn't allowed in the room. I was waiting and just praying just the whole time. Pace. I was wearing the paint off the floor there at Union Hospital, waiting to see if my granddaughter was okay, my daughter was okay. And there was a nurse that kept coming back and telling me and giving me updates. And she would say, "Well, you know, this is going on. And then I would say, "Well, here, can you tell my daughter, you know, I'm praying for her. Tell my wife she needs something, I'm here." I mean, I was more nervous than everybody else that was in there. But she was the mediator between me and my family inside. And praise God, two hours later, my granddaughter was born. Jesus Christ is our mediator. He is the one between us and God. He is the one that goes to God on our behalf. Praise God for his mediation, because I need prayer. I need to go to God for a few things. I'm a pastor of a church. I've got a whole church full of people that I need to go to the throne and pray for. I've got family. I've got lost loved ones. I've got lost family that needs prayer. I praise God for the mediation ministry of Jesus Christ. But had there not been a resurrection, he would not be on the right hand of God right now for us. He's making intercession for us. But number two, he's also our advocate. 1 John 2:1 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin," get this, "we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." An advocate is a legal term. He is our lawyer standing beside God on our behalf. And that's kind of important, because Revelation 12:10 says that Satan is the great accuser. He is the prosecutor. When you mess up, Satan's there going, "Did you see what she did?" Satan's going, "Did you see what he just did?" And then Jesus saying, "Yeah, but did you see what I did? I shed my blood on Calvary. The sin is covered up. Did you see what I did 3 days later? I rose from the dead." See, he is our advocate alongside of God. Praise God for the resurrection. Because if we did not have a resurrected Savior, we've got no intercessor and we've got no advocate alongside of God. Praise God, Jesus rose again. And we can sit here this morning saying we've got a representative, Jesus Christ, on the right hand of God. Number two, without the resurrection, we have no hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17 says this, "And if Christ be not raised," get this, "your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins." That's a scary situation. I got into witnessing, and I tell people about Christ. And I tell them, I said, "Tell me about heaven." And they always say, "Well, you know, it's a beautiful place. It's got," and pretty much everybody gets it right. Streets of gold, mansions, you know. And I always say this, is there any crime in heaven? Oh, absolutely not. Is there any death in heaven? No, absolutely not. And you know why? Because there's no sin in heaven, you know, which is good news. But for sinners, that's kind of not good news because we're sinners. And we need our sin removed in order to be able to go to heaven. But Jesus paid the sin debt on the cross, and when he paid the sin debt, that was an offering to God. And when God raised him from the dead, that was God accepting the payment for our sins. That was saying, "I accept what you did on the cross and raised him from the dead." Praise God, we got a Savior that had a payment worthy for mine and your sin. Let me use an illustration. Say Brother Gilbert invited me out to dinner. Say, "I want to take you to a great restaurant down here in Charlestown." And he said, "Don't worry, I got it covered. I'll pay for it." I said, "That sounds good." So we sit down, matter of fact, there's a little place down here which me and my wife love to go and get crab bisque. I can't remember the name of the restaurant, but it sells the best crab bisque. And we sit down, me and Brother Gilbert, enjoying it. And Brother Gilbert says, "Don't worry." He pulls out that big old wallet he's got and says, "You know, I got this covered." And he pulls out and he throws down a bunch of Monopoly money on the table. The waitress going to look and say, "You know what? I can't accept that. That's not the right payment." You know, next thing you know, me and Brother Gilbert's back in the back washing dishes, trying to cover the bill, you know, because he didn't have the right payment, you know. But you know what? If he pulls out cash and dumps it on the table, that's the right payment. The waitress says, "I accept that payment." There you go. You don't have to pay for the crab bisque yourself. You know something? Jesus Christ, when he went to the old rugged cross, he shed his blood. And when God raised him from the dead, he's telling the world, "I accept that payment." Do you know all the religions in the world, number one, they don't have anything that takes care of the sin debt, and they don't have a resurrection. None of them does. Islam doesn't have it. Buddhism doesn't have it. Atheism doesn't have either one of those. Christianity, biblical Christianity, because we've got a risen Savior, separates from all the rest. Without the resurrection, we have no hope. But praise God, we've got a resurrected Savior. Number three, without the resurrection, we have no power over death. Without the resurrection, we have no power over death. Let me read you a verse. Acts chapter 2, verse 24 says, "Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it." Gee, I like that. It is not possible that death could hold on to my Savior. It was not possible that he could stay in that grave. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 14 says, "And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power." The same power that was not possible for Christ to stay in that grave, to raise Christ down by that grave, is the same power that we will have whenever we go to our grave as well. Yet without the resurrection, we have no hope in our death. We have no hope. You know, I'm not a gambling man. I've never have been. Even when I was lost, I was a tightwad and I didn't gamble. Just didn't like it. I wouldn't bet a quarter if I thought I would lose it. That just wasn't me. And I'm going to tell you something. As a person who values 25 cents, I value my soul a whole lot more than 25 cents. I'm not putting my eternal soul on any religious figure that's faced death and lost. And there's millions and millions. According to Wiki Atheists, there are 28 million gods. And on the website, they say this. They said, "Well, what makes your God so special?" I'm glad you asked me that. Because my God, my Jesus Christ, is the only one that faced death and won. He's the only one. I don't care what your belief system is. If you're putting your faith in Buddha, well, guess what? He's still dead in the grave. If you place your faith in Muhammad, well, guess what? He's still dead and in the grave. If you place your faith in Darwin and atheism, guess what? He's been dead for a long time. He ain't coming back. But you know what? Jesus faced death. And then he rose up out of the grave. And that's the one I'm putting my eternal soul in. I'm not taking a chance on anybody else. What separates Jesus from the rest of them? Just look at the empty tomb and that will give you your answer. Jesus rose from the dead. Without the resurrection, though, we have no hope. If 4 days went by and Christ was still in that grave, we got the wrong religion. We need to move on. But praise God, 3 days later, he walked up out of that grave. Number 4, without the resurrection, we have no heavenly reunion coming up. Without the resurrection, we have no heavenly family reunion awaiting us. The Bible talks about a lot about our family that has passed and went on to heaven. A lot about those saved loved ones or those saved people that we went to church with, those friends being in heaven. Let me read one verse here. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 and 14 says, Paul says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," talking about believers. It says, "that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." See, when you place your faith in Christ, you got hope. The greatest gift, and let me read verse 14. It says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." You can't bring something with you unless you got it at home with you. My Bible, I brought it with me this morning because it was at my house, and I brought it with me. And when Paul is talking about God's going to bring them with him, guess where they're at right now? They're with him in heaven. The greatest gift you can give your family members is say, "Listen, if something happens to me, if this coronavirus thing goes crazy, if I get in a car wreck on the way home, don't worry, I'm going to be there. Just make sure you get there when you die." That's the greatest gift you can give. That's the peace that we can give one another. I had a dad, Stan, his son, 17-year-old, passed away right up the road here. And I remember him coming to me with tears in his eyes, looking at me, said, "Did he ever tell you that he was saved?" And I'm going to tell you, I'm looking in that man's eyes, and he would have given the world to hear, to say, yeah, he was a born-again Christian. He wanted that more than anything. See, that's the greatest gift you can leave your family, is that you know. Matter of fact, Paul says this in verse 18, that's how you comfort one another. Because this world is filled with death, and this world is. I tell you, I've done so many funerals, and I've seen the pain at funerals. I've seen, I did a funeral of a fella about 4 years ago, lived down the other side of Northeast, and he called me up. He had cancer, terminal cancer. He was in his hospice bed at his house. And I went up there and we sat down, and I'm just making small chit-chat, but he called me to his house for a reason. It's because he was lost and he wanted to know how to be saved. And he said, we sat there and I'm chit-chatting, we're talking about fishing, hunting, everything. And I finally said, "Can I talk to you about your salvation?" He said, "That's why I ask you here." I was like, "Amen. I should have just not wasted a half hour talking about fishing. Let's just talk about how to get to heaven." We talked about sin. We talked about the blood of Christ. We talked about the free gift of salvation. And the man at 80-some years old bowed his head and called on Jesus Christ, and he got saved that day. 2 weeks later, he died. I did his funeral. But I remember getting the call. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. And they said he had passed away. "Pastor, would you mind coming up and be with the family? The family are pretty distraught." And I said, "Yeah, sure." So I remember going there. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. And his wife of 63 years married. She never even had a driver's license. She so depended on him. And they were just as tight as could be. I mean, they were like best friends. And I remember walking into that living room, and I remember looking over and seeing his deceased body there and her grabbing a hold of his hand and not wanting to let go. I mean, and she was in tears, and I felt so bad. I started praying with her. She wouldn't let go, and the funeral director come. It was time to let go, and she just was completely distraught as they took the body out of there. But we had the funeral, and I like preaching funerals of saved people because I know where they're at, and I used his testimony. I used the fact that right before he died, he called on Christ. And I used the fact that you know what? He's in heaven right now. And I watched her get a peace that passes all understanding. Oh, she misses him. And she, matter of fact, she just passed away not that long ago. And I got to preach to her. She called on Christ as well. When we have a loved one that's passed, or a friend, or or one of our church family, we miss them terribly. But we got hope because we know where they're at. We know that ain't goodbye. We know that's just, it's just a little while. I'm going to finish what God's got for me here, and I'm going to see you again one day. But folks, without the resurrection, we have no hope. If Jesus died and stayed in that grave, this whole thing is a facade. All we got is this life. Matter of fact, let me go on to number 5. If there be no resurrection, this life is the best we got. That's what Paul says. Listen, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 19. It says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If this is all we got, if Christ didn't raise, this is all we got. And that's, Paul says, that's most miserable. Joel Osteen, Smiling Joel, says he wrote a book called Your Best Life Now. Well, you know what? This ain't my best life now. I've been born again. I got a better one coming. I got a heaven where there's no sin. I got a heaven where I never have to worry about getting old. I got a heaven where I don't have to worry about seeing in cemeteries, nursing homes, COVID-19 or COVID-20 or 21. None of them we have to worry about. But this life, although there's some things I enjoy. I've talked to brother about doing a little deer hunting, a little turkey hunting, whatnot. I like that. But overall, this life is miserable. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know where this COVID-19 is going to go. We don't know when our family's going to pass. We don't know. We may be attending a funeral of a loved one in within 24 hours. We don't know. We don't know. But you know what Paul says? If Christ didn't raise, this is the best you got. If Christ didn't come up out of that grave, this is all we got. And he says, you know what? That makes us most miserable. Paul, and look, you study the life of Paul. Look at what he went through. You know, shipwrecked, beaten, thrown in prison. He says, and this is my best life now? No. No. Folks, let me tell you something. Christ rose from the dead. And because of that, you've got streets of gold. You've got a mansion over the hilltop. You've got saved family and friends waiting on you on the other side. You've got sights that you've never seen before on the face of earth. Eye hath not seen, nor ear have heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. You've got, and let me tell you something, one day, you're going to stand before the risen Savior and fall at his feet and praise his name for everything that he's done. Praise God he walked up out of that grave. Praise God we've got a risen Savior. And this life is going to be just a fleeting breath. We've got an eternity waiting for us because Jesus rose. And then lastly, number 6. If there be no resurrection, we might as well go home. This is it. Because let me read you a verse. 1 Corinthians 15, 14 and 15 says, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. And get this, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. You want to tell, here, God give us the litmus test for a false religion. If you don't have a resurrection, you got a false religion. He said, matter of fact, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we might as well just turn this building into a convenience store and sell tackle for people going fishing down Charlestown. If Christ didn't raise from the dead, why get up at 4:30 in the morning to come out here in a parking lot to worship our risen Savior? If Christ didn't raise from the dead, we might as well just pack this whole thing up, try to live your best life now, because this is all you got. This whole thing is a facade. But folks, let me tell you something. Jesus rose from the dead. He conquered death. He faced death, and he won. And he's the one that one day, just as he said, I'm going to face death and win, one day he's coming back. And folks, I'm going to close with this. If you're not saved, I challenge you. If you're not saved and you don't know for sure, you don't know the resurrected Savior, I challenge you today, come to Christ with a believing heart. Come to Christ and ask Him to save you, and He promises He'll save you. Believers, let me tell you something. Just as sure as Christ rose up out of the dead, just as sure we're going to stand before Him one day and give an account for the things that we've done. Praise God we serve a living Savior. Praise God for the fact that He loved us so much that He went through what He did to shed His blood. And praise God that He rose from the dead and conquered death for us. Brother Gilman.
Great message. Thank you, Brother Jim. I tell you what, I'm thankful this morning that we serve a risen Savior. Amen. And we can praise God for that. Amen. And I'm so glad to see each one of you to come out this morning. We normally have a lot bigger crowd for sunrise, but I tell you what, for a last-minute thing, I think this has turned out good.
Amen.
But, you know, it's not about just coming out for sunrise. It's about allowing God to have His way and His place in your heart. You know, His disciples had doubts. His disciples had fears, and people are living today with a lot of doubt and a lot of fear that we don't have to have, because the Word of God gives us the assurance. The eyewitnesses give us the assurance. The Spirit of God speaks to our hearts and gives us the assurance that we have hope in Christ Jesus because He's a risen Savior. Amen. Don't forget that today, and don't lose sight of that as we go through the day. You know, sometimes Jesus gets pushed aside for the Easter bunny. But there's nothing more important than Jesus this morning. Amen. This day is all about Him. Your family's great, and it's good to be able to get together when you can. But it's all about Jesus. Amen. Just remember that. Let's close in a word of prayer. And don't anyone leave until we're ready. And I just want you to know, on the way out, Brother Jim and I are going to be there. Just want to kind of greet you on the way out, if you don't mind staying for a few minutes. We got the little church sitting out there. Folks have been asking about an offering. If you want to leave an offering, just stop, get out of your car, put the money in the little church. We'll take it back in later. And you can just leave the offering in there. You don't have to get near anybody, touch anybody. We'll make sure it's on up out of the way where nobody, so give everybody time to stop if they need to. Come back at 11 o'clock. We're going to do this again at 11 o'clock. We're going to have our redneck pulpit set up again, and we'll just preach Christ and Him crucified, risen, and coming again. Amen. But we're thankful for the privilege that God has given us to be able to do this. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll dismiss. Our Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for this precious day that You've given us. And, Lord, just a day to be remembered, a day not to be forgotten, because in this day, Lord, we know that You accepted and the offering that was made at Calvary, Lord. We know that it was sufficient for all our needs and all our sins because of Your acceptance and because He rose again, proving that acceptance, Lord. We have a hope that goes beyond this life. And Lord, this life doesn't have much to offer us. But Father, we know, God, that beyond this life, there's something that we can't even begin to imagine. We read about it. We hear about it. We sing about it. But God, there's nothing that can even help us to comprehend just what it is that Christ procured for us when He gave His life on that old rugged cross. We thank You, Lord, for Brother Jim that's come to be with us this morning. Just use him in a mighty way in the work that he's doing there at State Line. Use him this morning in the service in a mighty way. We just pray Your anointing upon him again. And just help him, Lord, to be a blessing. Father, we thank You for everyone that's come out this way. Thank You for each one that's listening online. And Father, just ask You to bless each home, Father, that's represented by those that are here and those that are listening. And Father, we just pray especially for those that are struggling with disease and sickness and illness. And Lord, just ask You to touch their hearts and touch their lives. Now, Lord, let Your will be done in all things. And help us give glory and honor unto the name of Jesus in all we do. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen. Before we go, everybody hold your signs up. You got the amen signs or flash your lights. I want to get a picture of everybody.